ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
The Herald of Truth broadcast is on the air, a program of spirit and truth dedicated to teaching the way of God more perfectly. These broadcasts contain keys to help unlock knowledge and reveal hidden truths of the Bible in these last days. Christians, called to a higher level of understanding, will be given Bible-based solutions to their personal as well as national problems. They will want to find out more about their part in God's plan. Our mailing address is Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602, and will be given again at the end of this broadcast.
Good evening. This is Brother Mike of Kingdom Identity Ministries, welcoming you to another one of our first of the month live Kingdom Concepts broadcasts. If you would like to participate tonight, it should be a most interesting program, and you can call 877-924-7722. That's a toll-free number, and it will connect you to the board. You can remember that by 877-YAHS-RACE. Scripture tells us that we are to be watchmen warning our people of what is to come. As this nation continues to turn from its white Christian heritage, our race and our culture are being destroyed, and things will continue to get worse unless the situation is reversed. Tonight's guest was recommended by the longtime racial nationalist Dr. Edward Fields, and my guest is also a longtime well-known activist fighting in behalf of our race. I'd like to welcome to the broadcast Dr. David Duke.
Well, nice to talk to you, Brother Mike, and it's really my pleasure to speak with you. We met a long time ago when I came over to your state for some talks, and it's such a nice thing to get together with you again.
Well, it's nice to have you, and it's nice to see that you and just a few others of us have remained faithful to fighting for our people. And a lot of times they turn and leave.
Now, a lot of people fall by the wayside.
True. I know that both you and myself have been discriminated against many times over the years for our beliefs, to say the least. But we are now facing a Biden administration equating politically incorrect so-called hate speech with domestic terrorism, and they want to prosecute those who engage in it. In fact, I read an article tonight online that Senator Marco Rubio, who's a Republican, Rhino, introduced a bill to suspend gun rights to anyone who has ever been investigated for domestic terrorism. He calls it the Terror Intelligence Improvement Act. What kind of developments do you see taking place?
Well, they certainly are trying to define anybody who really opposes communism and who opposes the Jewish nature of communism. And in fact, that's something that I've learned from a very young age. I studied the issue and I was shocked to see it as a young person. I was surprised. My father always spoke pretty highly of Jewish people. His sister, my aunt, actually married a Jewish gentleman who converted to Christianity. And he seemed like a pretty nice fellow. And so I never really had any sort of feeling of prejudice as a very young man, opposing Jewish people in any way. But when I began to study the situation and the issue, I was really shocked to see the incredibly powerful role that Jews had in Marxism and communism. And they certainly led the communist movement. And the truth is that we have a media in this country today that's still pushing that kind of value system. There has been a bit of a shift in the Jewish elite in the fact that they were far more, Zionism was a small blip in the horizon back in the early part of the 20th century. But communism is something that they saw as a means to really dominate the world and to promote their issues, as well as they saw it as an opportunity in Russia to get back at the Tsar, which they saw as anti-Semitic because of the May laws and the other aspects in Russia. And Jews all over the world supported the international communist movement. And that continued until after the Second World War, when Russia was beginning to shift. They made a lot of mistakes in Russia, the Russian people, and the Russian expertise in military matters was basically needed by them to defeat the Germans and the other people of Europe. So what happened was that they put a lot of Gentiles into positions in the military who were very good soldiers. And they had to, they produced just kind of like they do in America during our wars. They start playing the patriotic music and talk about American heritage and all these other things when they want to go fight a war. Didn't do the same thing in Russia, but it really awakened Russian nationalism till by the end of the 1950s, by effect the middle of the 50s, Khrushchev actually got up in front of the Russian Duma, the Congress, and laid out the mass murders and the crimes against millions and millions of Russian Christians. And that's a pretty fascinating issue. And, of course, some Jews broke with the Bolsheviks, not so much the Bolsheviks who didn't want to do anything to defeat the Germans during the war because they were a Christian country, but they what they actually did was absolutely saw a betrayal by, quote, Stalin. And they saw rising Russian elements after the war. And I think Stalin even came to see them also as a threatening position, as the people were not going to be loyal to Russia. And so after that time, that's why we see all the anti-Russian propaganda today, because Russia is a Christian country today. In fact, its leader calls it a Christian country today. And Putin made very angry the Jewish oligarchs in Russia and people like Khodorkovsky, Berezovsky, Guzinski, and the organized crime figures. And that's why we have this anti-Russian position in the media because of that. And I was able, eventually in my life, it's kind of interesting, but I pursued my PhD in Ukraine, and I also went to Russia very early on, and I taught there, and I worked with Alexander Solzhenitsyn, the great Alexander Solzhenitsyn, who was one of the most famous dissidents against communism, and he wrote wonderful books, including Gulag Archipelago 1, 2, and 3, masterworks. He won a Nobel Prize, by the way, for his authorship and his courage. And he, I got a chance to meet him and go into the Russian archives with him. He brought me along, many, many meetings with him, and we worked on a lot of these projects. And it was just amazing to find out the Jewish role in the mass murders and NKVD and the all the organizations that killed so many millions of Christians. And it's still going on today, too. I mean, the New York Times, a good example, is in 2017, they had a big full-page article with a big picture of a statue of none other than Karl Marx. And the headline read, "Happy Birthday, Karl Marx. You were right." And that's the New York Times. Of course, the New York Times is completely owned by Jews and what they call the Class B stockholders. They control 90% of the voting stock. The real regular stockholders have no power compared to the five Jews that run it. It was eight Jews a few years ago. I can name the names. They're all Zionists, and they all support Jewish issues. So that was the first thing that really began my journey to understanding the Jewish question fully, and I really believe that's why we have the racial question before us, because they sought to use the black population and also bring in more minorities to change the demographics and promote so-called equal rights, which ultimately has led to massive racial discrimination against white people, to basically take over government, take over media, take over banking. And they've done all that, and they literally control the media, they control the banking establishment, and that's really how I began my journey. Yeah, of course.
They control the politicians with their money power, And they control both sides of the argument. Some will pretend to be conservative and the others were obviously liberal. But it's a genetic thing. They can take different stands, but they can't help themselves. I recently heard a commentator on Fox brag that 30% of the Jewish vote went for Trump, which was up from 15%. And yet, all that he did for them, in spite of all that he did for them, 70% of the Jews voted against him because of his pro-American policies.
I think it's actually about 80% from what I've seen at a few different sources. I really keep up with that. As an historian, I try to do that. And, of course, my books are My Awakening, Jewish Supremacism, and Secret Behind Communism. I'm working on a couple more, trying to get them finished right now. But, yeah, I think it's even higher than that. And those Jews who masquerade as Republicans, they're not real Republicans. They're not conservatives at all. And that's what's so interesting. They really do control the opposition. And they weave their way into a lot of the movements. And I think they also control a lot of social media. I think a lot of that's coming out of these office buildings in Israel, even the Israeli defense organization, so-called defense organization, the military, they actually have cores of people that go in and try to control social media. And
well,
one of the... That's right. And Zuckerberg, and we can just keep going on. Google is completely controlled by Jews. But the thing is that they create a lot of this baloney right now. I'll give you an example, a perfect example of that, is one of the most pernicious, one of the most stupid arguments that they're using to our people as a way of deflection so people don't see the Jewish role. I mean, the Jewish magazine is like the Forward, which is one of the leading intellectual and driving publications of Jews in this country. And our publications in Israel, I can show them, I can quote them. They even brag about how they led the impeachment of Donald Trump. They brag about the fact that that they did that. And if you look at the actual pattern behind it, it's completely financed, supported, and worked by Jews. I mean, even the original Steele dossier was financed with the Free Beacon with Crystal, you know, William Crystal, and then Paul Singer financed the Free Beacon, which was behind the whole Steele dossier. And then later, after Trump won the nomination, they knew that they would, and they even stopped publishing because of the fact that, and the Republicans wanted to be with him anymore because they took the Never Trump stamps. Even though, let me tell you, I'm not that a big fan of Trump, but I can tell you one thing, that they certainly hated him extremely, and they did everything they could to destroy him. But anyway, going back to it, so that was Paul Singer, and Paul Singer is a pro-LGBT guy. He also supported Rubio right away in Florida. And so after Trump got the nomination, he was trying to hold on to some of those conservatives so they wouldn't get, you know, angry at him. So he passed that over to the Democrats, over to Clinton. And this is an amazing story when you get into it. And as a Jewish lawyer under Clinton, it handled it from there. And then, of course, in the Justice Department, and it was unfortunate, I think that Sessions recuse himself because they had a controversy with him meeting Russian ambassador early, which everybody does, but he got kind of spooked and he dropped out. But the guy that put him in, started the Mueller investigation, was Rosenstein. And Jewish publications, they brag about Rosenstein being anti-Trump. The Mueller investigation was led by Mueller, of course, who's kind of a doddering old guy, but the guy that was running it, the top attorney, was Weissman, very corrupt Jew. And then you had the committees that started the impeachment. I mean, you had, of course, Adam Schiff, and this guy's a radical Jew. He's head of the Intelligence Committee. And the other day, I mean, last year, he had a Mossad, not he, but his son had a Mossad T-shirt on, and all the Jews were talking about on his Twitter how great that was. I mean, this is a guy that's head of our Intelligence Committee who knows all these Jewish leaders, and he knows the Mossad and friends with the Mossad. And the Mossad committed the greatest spy damage to America and American history, according to our Secretary of Defense at one time. So it really is, when you start digging down into this, so you had You had Schiff, and then you had Nadler, who was head of the judiciary. That's a good name for it, by the way, Mike. And then of course you had Engel, who was head of the Foreign Relations Committee. And it's so amazing how they do it. And of course now you've got Schumer, and Schumer actually is a guy that identifies himself to 7,000 Jews at AIPAC, in a big meeting at AIPAC, as my name Schumer, and that means guardian of the Jewish people. In fact, you know, I'd love to play a copy of that speech if I can find it today. But yeah, so Schumer is big Jewish Zionist, and so you got the whole thing. You got the whole thing controlled.
Got that woman Cortez, AOC, they call her, whatever it is. She was speaking to AIPAC, and she bragged to them that she was a Murano Jew, her people that came over, and I believe it was Puerto Rico they settled in.
Oh, I haven't seen that. Please send me that, because I missed that. I don't miss too much, but I certainly missed that one. I'd love to get a copy. Please make sure you send it to my email.
If I can find the link, it ought to be on YouTube or something, but
she was a Murano Jew. Wow.
Yeah, she was speaking to AIPAC, and she said that her original ancestors that settled in this country came over as a Murano, pretending to be Christians.
Well, that's just like Marcus, who's, go ahead, I'm sorry.
You've got on the Supreme Court, you've got the liberals up there. It was the four liberals until Ruth Bader Ginsburg died, but they were all Jewish. And so did my heir.
We still have three. We still have three, though.
Yeah, we still have three. And she pretends to be Hispanic, but her mother was a Jew.
I got a caller
already.
Sure.
From Nashville, Tennessee. You're on the air.
I'm just
Nashville?
Listening. I'm just listening. Yes.
Oh,
I'm
you're
just
listening.
Listening.
Okay, well, I'll put you
Thank
back
you.
On mute. It's sometimes hard to tell whether they're just listening over the phone line or calling for a question. If anybody would like to ask Dr. Duke a question or give a comment, they can call our toll-free number, 877-924-7722, 877-YAWS-RACE. Let me give you the opportunity here to give some contact information to our listeners in case they would like to get in contact with you and get further information.
Yeah, every morning, actually from 9 a.m. Central Time to 11 a.m., or you can say it's 10 to 12 Eastern Time, I'm on the Rents Radio Network, go around the world with that, and we also have archives. And in that show on the Rents Radio Network, I do what I call Human Rights Radio, because I believe it's fundamental to human rights, God-given rights, that we have a right to preserve our heritage, our way of life, and the nature and the humanity that God created. I think we have a right to do that. We have a right to protect our rights, and I think every people do. And our people are being purposely ethnically cleansed in our own country. So I do a radio program every day. The first hour, we use that for archives, repeating different interviews. Maybe we'll repeat one of these interviews in one of the shows. We do also, right now, we're doing broadcasting of an audio edition of my book, My Awakening. And people really love that book. It's been heard millions of times around the world. And the book is in 21 languages, My Awakening. And you can go to davidduke.com, my website, to find out how you can get that book. But also, more importantly now, right now, we're just about out. We're waiting for a reprinting coming in a month or so. But we've got copies of Jewish Supremacism. And we've got also copies of The Secret Behind Communism and another book we published with an introduction of and a history of the author, the famous Jack London. I've got a great book of his called Mutiny of the Elsinore, and it's a great book about a clipper ship around the turn of the century, which had a mutiny against the European-American, major captain and his daughter and this other gentleman who was a passenger. And how they overcame this mutiny led by Jews and other non-European peoples. It's a very incredible book, and I also have a very good biography of Jack London, the beginning of the book. And I know probably a lot of you read his early books when you were in school, Call of the Wild and many others, but he was a great author. a man who was coming a little leftist, and then he got awakened to the racial issue and the Jewish question. And this is a great book. So we also have that book available for people, but we appreciate people out there helping us. And then in the second hour, I go live, and we have often Dr. Patrick Slattery, and often a co-host of mine, and we also bring other individuals of Mark Collette, usually once a week from Great Britain, Andy Hitchcock from Great Britain, and other people, Dave Gahari, which is also a guy that's done a lot of work with Hellstorm and the other aspects of the Second World War. And we have many other guests. We've had nutritionists, we've had anthropologists, we've had political people, we've had a great score of people, and of course, I've been a former member of the House of Representatives in Louisiana, and I also became the Republican nominee, in effect, for governor of the state of Louisiana, and I got more votes for governor than any other Republican candidate, and I was in a runoff for that. I also was in a race for the Senate, came really close to winning a U.S. Senate race, and it was only Republican perpety that stopped that from happening by getting absentee ballots for the other Republican canceled because that Republican dropped out of the race, which would have kept the incumbent from getting a majority. I've also ran for U.S. Congress and come very, very close within a percentage point of a runoff. And I've won another election for vice presidential nominee in the state of New Hampshire, believe it or not, years ago. The same position or the same vote that Al Gore won 4 years before he became vice president. So that's pretty interesting. So we've had some pretty good races, and so I served in the House in Louisiana, and that was a wild ride, and I'm still working very hard to wake up people, not only in America, but around the world. So that's how they can contact me. You can go to davidduke.com, and you can look up the radio show and get information about the show there. You can go to the rentsradio.com and see how you can listen live, and you can also listen to the archives on those shows.
Yeah, speaking of political, I think sometimes the kosher conservatives, I call them rhinos or establishment types, whatever you want to call them, they're worse than the liberal Democrats because they're deceptive. And as you know, there's a Jewish influence behind all the parties. And I was
absolutely
active one time, Republican and Democrat, and actually American Independent Party. And I found that the people behind the scenes were making the decisions, and then the general population of the party just rubber stamped it.
There are some individual Republicans who are very good, but very individual. But yeah, but it's really disgusting. And you know, of course, you know, and I know, most of your listeners know that what they tell us in the national media, what they tell us for the heads of the Republican Party and the Democratic Party, whether you're talking about McConnell or whether you're talking about Schumer or Pelosi or these other people, it's just lie after lie after lie. Even the idea that this country has become a democracy, it's crazy. It's not a democracy. It's an oligarchy. Now, democracy, of course, that comes from the Greek word demo credo, which means citizen, and it also receive means, or that basically means group or power or rule. And we don't have a rule of the people. We've got a rule of the elite. And we saw that in this presidential election. It wasn't really an election. It was a controlled election. It was a violated election. There was massive campaign violation in it. We all know that. And the fact is that even to question that is considered to be anti-democratic. Well, obviously, if you break election law massively, like not allowing poll watchers, and that's exactly what they did. They kicked them out. They counted the votes after they kicked the poll watchers out, for instance, in Atlanta and other places and around the country. When you're able to do that, that's not a valid election. It's an illegal election. Besides that, the media ran 4 hours of attack ads against Donald Trump. And again, he did a lot of things. He did some things they wanted, for sure. But let me tell you something. They hated him because he did say things like fake news media, and they sure don't like that. And because he did a lot of things like that, he said that we needed to maintain our borders, and that if you can't control your borders, you don't preserve America. And it actually caused quite an awakening around the world, even though I do disagree with a lot of his actions. And but, you know, Biden has already gone now and put American troops back into Syria. And that's a pretty dangerous thing, and I hope we don't have any big more wars that are fighting for the Jews rather than for the American people.
That's right. Well, the Christian patriots are generally aware that the election was stolen, but even the conservative media doesn't mention that a large portion of the reason the vote went that way was because non-whites overwhelmingly vote against our traditional values, and they're increasing while our population percentage-wise is decreasing. In fact, the majority of both legal and illegal immigrants are non-white.
Of course. And that's all purposeful. I mean, the New York Times had an article just a couple weeks before the election day, and the article read, "Trump's Last Stand for White America." And it was Mr. Roger Cohen's, one of the leading publications writer in the New York Times, and that's the leading paper in the country. And in that article, he spoke just blatantly, openly, that ethnic replacement or the replacement theory is what's happening to America, and that's a good thing. It's a good thing that white people are replaced in this country. In other words, they're being ethnically cleansed, which is considered a war crime by the United Nations, by the way. So white people being ethnically cleansed, and he praised it and adapted that. And it's so important to understand that this has been going on for so, so long. I'll give you an example. I mean, I was repeating my age here, but when I was a freshman at LSU, it was 1968. And in 1968, the United States of America was 90% European American. I tell that to people today who are young, and they can't hardly believe that. Really? Yeah, how can that be? And you had many, many states which had much smaller percentage of non-whites than today. A good example is Arkansas. A good example is Georgia. We can just keep going. Minnesota, Wisconsin, California. Look at California. So here's the situation. When the Civil Rights Act was going on in the middle 60s, I was already awakened. As a middle teenager, when I was 13, 14, 15 years old, I understood it all. I was a voracious reader and, I did very well academically, and I knew what was going on. And when I got to LSU, I got to Free Speech Alley, where they usually, the Weathermen and the SDS dominated, these communist groups. But I said, honestly, that the 1965 Immigration Reform Act, which was the Hart-Celler Act, it was a Jewish act, was meant to make America a minority country. That act, plus the legal immigration being changed from nations of origin to reflect that of America, and the fact that they didn't even enforce our laws along the border. You know, that's a criminal, unconstitutional, and anti-American thing to do. We have laws in the books protecting our border. In fact, when they integrated the schools in Little Rock, Arkansas, I don't know if you're from Arkansas originally, Mike, but I've been to Arkansas many, many times.
Yeah, but I'm familiar with that. I have a good friend who was friend with Governor Favas, and he at one time agreed to be the nominee for the National States Rights Party, and she put his name into nomination at the convention, and then he told her later. He started denying that he even knew her, and he knew her for years. And he said that his life had been threatened, and he had to withdraw it and the lives of his family. So they've had control for a long time.
Oh, yeah. But the point I was going to make is that, remember, when they integrated the schools, they did the same thing at Ole Miss. They did the same thing in New Orleans and Atlanta and Memphis, all these cities, right? So they said the Supreme Court made a change in 1954. And they said it took them a long time to enforce it against the will of the people, this forced integration. And they said that we've got to do this because this is a law. And if we have to put bayoneted troops in these major cities to enforce this law, we're going to do it. If we have to put bayonets at the necks children in school to forcibly integrate the schools, even though they tried to make it out like that, you know, the blacks were the ones in danger. No. The truth is there's been hundreds of thousands of white children who've been hurt and harmed violently. In fact, in terms of the racial disparity in crime, it's not black people who are being killed by white people every year in America. And by the way, 30%, the murder rate's up 30% now. It's not black people being killed by white. I've got the most latest figures from the Justice Department. And it shows that the actual probability, because blacks, listen, right now are about 13% of the population. Black males are about 6%. And they're committing a majority of the violent crimes and murders. And at the same time, whites are 60%, but whites commit a very small, tiny percentage of black murders. So if you look at cross-racial crimes, you'll see that the individual black has 100 times more chance of committing a violent act against a white person than a white person does against a black person, or a murder, a robbery, a rape. That sounds startling. They can be proven. They have these figures at the Justice Department. I can get people those figures. You can go to my website. You can find this as well. I have a good search engine there. And but here's the deal. So they told us that they had to put bayonets to do all these things, to destroy the South. But guess what? Why didn't they sure didn't say that about enforcing our borders and enforcing illegal aliens from breaking the law, and yet you or me or anybody else who tried to sneak in through an airport or you break in, you know, come into this country without going through customs or immigration, be in very, very serious trouble, right? So this was all a lie. They violated our rights in not enforcing the laws about our immigration laws and our borders. We could have certainly done it. Eisenhower did it in the 50s and cleaned out 600,000 illegal aliens. Far fewer, of course, than they have these days. But so we have now a man, Biden, and the Democrats are going to legalize 20 million illegal aliens. And that's demographic destruction. So I would make the point, this is a hard point for some people to get because they don't quite realize it. But, and I know you get it, Mike, but I hope your listeners get it. The fact is that this was never the motivation for this in this country by the media, by the Jewish media, by the Jewish establishment, and the Jewish bankers and the money, and the Jewish money and politics. We can go to that later in this podcast too. But the fact is that this effort to put the Voting Rights Act and the integration of our educational system and all these things and the change in demographics of America was not at all about making a better life for blacks. In fact, as these things took place, black family disintegrated, as the war on poverty got going, by the way, $22 trillion spent on the war on poverty, it created more black illegitimacy, more broken families. It went from 80% positive families to only 15% or less. Blacks know their, you know, or deal with their own present father. You know, it wasn't about blacks. It was all about replacing and hurting the white community so the Jewish takeover of our media and our government and academia could be done. They couldn't do it by themselves. They have enough Jews to take over the media. That's a tiny percentage in terms of the top run of the media. It takes a tiny number of Jews in terms of the population to take over Hollywood. It takes a tiny number of Jews to run these top hedge fund operators, like with the latest GameStop controversy. That was 18 of the 25 biggest hedge fund operators are Jews. If you add Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan, which are also hedge fund operators, it's 20 of 25. You know, that it takes for them to replace white people in so many positions, it means also doing affirmative action to put less qualified minorities over better qualified white people. So it was never about equal rights. I said this from the time I was 17 years old, and I said it publicly. You know, they're not interested in equal rights. This is about changing the demographic of America. It's about replacing white people in this country who are better qualified with black people who are less qualified. That's not equal rights. That's racial discrimination on a massive scale. And it's really about making more powerful the people who've been competing with white people, because America's founded, every founder of the Declaration of Independence was white, white Christian. And every founder and every writer of the Constitution of the United States was white. And that was the way it was for a couple centuries almost. I mean, it's amazing. And by the way, so the founders of this country are Europeans. And this was all about the Jews taking over America, and the only way they could do that was by lessening and not only filling their own positions in places of power, but also filling their allies. So the Jews, you know, acted like they were their allies, while the Jews destroyed mass movements like the Guardian movement, which in the 1920s and 30s wanted to repatriate the black people back to Africa. But by the way, it was the same policy of Lincoln and the Democratic Party and the Republican Party at one time, believe it or not. It sounds crazy, but at the time of Lincoln's assassination, the Republican Party and the Democrats, they both were together. It would have happened except for the assassination when the radicals took over the Republican Party. They wanted to actually send and repatriate, free the black slaves. They wanted to repatriate and they wanted to them to Africa, and they wanted to repay the slaveholders for the property, and they wanted to make a huge project to do it and help them go to Africa, train them, and help them have their own society, which they control their own affairs. That's a true thing, folks, even though it seems strange to hear it today, but it's all true. But it's just part of the reason that we just don't know the history of America.
Well, the Jews are integrating both Europe and the United States because they can control a mongrelized people or a non-white people, but there's always the chance that the white race will wake up, as they did in Germany. I'm not saying that necessarily everything that happened during the Third Reich was correct, but still they were waking up to the Jewish problem. In this country, their whites still vote in the majority for the better candidate, but the other races, the main difference isn't skin color or any other physical feature. The main difference is both mental and spiritual, and you mongrelize that out of existence, the white race, then they've got control because they control the other races more easily. I see we have...
Well, they're the only people that want... Yeah, they're the only people who want to have an identity, and there's no people on Earth who are more supremacist and controlling. And by the way, it's not the Chinese that are the problem. It's not the Russians that are the problem. So it's not Russian people who are in Biden's cabinet. It's not Chinese people in the Biden cabinet. These are Jews that are in charge right now of the Justice Department to prosecute all the white people. These are Jews in charge of the Treasury Department. These are Jews in charge of our foreign policy and trying to get us in wars, Blinken and the rest of them. The whole head of security for the country now, where the CIA reports to her and the Defense Department reports to her, is, of course, Avril Haines, and her real name, his mother's name was Rappaport, and she's a big Zionist Jew. And she's the top security person in this country. So it's not, these are not Chinese, but that's typical. You know, we talked about the misdirection and the lies and the controlled opposition. Well, that just shows you, you know, in fact, both Tucker, even a right winger supposedly, and the left winger now starting to attack China, even though they make a lot of China from the tariffs, and they want to continue to destroy the white working man in America. But at the same time, the left attacks Russia, and even a lot of Fox attacks Russia, except for Tucker. Tucker also points out it's not the Russians that have been doing things to us. They hate the Russians because the Russians, you know, are absolutely what America used to be like.
Well, Fox is owned by a Jew, too, and they're getting rid of some of the more true conservatives that at least expose a larger amount of truth than...
Well, you know, I've read that, and I've heard that because his mother's name was Green. I work a lot with genealogy with experts, and I always try to always get to the bottom of things. I believe that for a long time, but when I started looking into it, there was no evidence whatsoever that the guy that said the guy that runs Fox News and News Corp and all that is Jewish. He did have a Jew working for him in Hollywood in their studios. He did have a lot of Jews working for him, like the lead anchor in Fox, you know, is Chris Wallace, right, and many others. But I don't think he's Jewish, and I think that's the only reason why even Tucker was able to get away with what he was able to get away with, talking about, you know, almost not directly, because he doesn't say it directly, but he talks about the white people. I'm sorry if I'm keeping the caller waiting. I apologize for that.
Okay, well, let me go to La Crosse, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Yes, I have a question for your guest.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
I totally agree with everything that you say.
Oh, yeah.
I had heard it said that there was never a war that wasn't started by a Jew. But my question would be, in California, with all of these fires that are going on, and like in Australia, and listening to some people who live there, they feel that many of those were man-made. Could that be because this country, the Jews, stole the gold from the Chinese? Remember, it was held in New York and it disappeared. Germany's gold disappeared, and the Chinese might be very angry about that because they wound up with the Chicago Board of Trade. Many of our national forests are now owned by the Chinese, and is it that China has got claims on California?
Well, most of the national forests actually are not owned by Chinese. I hate to say it, and I'll use a term the leftists always use in the media. There's a lot of disinformation going on out there. But, by the way, the Chinese do not control Hollywood, right? The Arabs do not control Hollywood. But the Jews have put their hooks into, of course, Saudi Arabia, which is now an ally of theirs. They took over Saudi Arabia because when they started getting this big oil money, they didn't know what to do with it. And the Jews, you know, very cleverly, they came in and said, oh, we'll put it into the stock market, the money. And once they had that money, then they could easily take it away. The same way that they took away the money that was invested by the Shah of Iran and Iran in control of the Jewish stock market, right? And they did take it away, and they finally paid it back. And they didn't pay off Iran for signing the nuclear deal. That was money they owed to Iran that was stolen from Iran, which was put into the banks in New Orleans, in America by the Shah and the government way back when there was a better relationship with the United States. When Iran went against Israel and the Zionists, that's when you had that issue up. Now, as far as forest fires, I know a lot about forest fires. I've been going in nature since a young boy. I used to go out in the wetlands of New Orleans. I lived in Europe for 10 years. It was just about every day I was in the mountains for at least, you know, an hour or so or two. I've been all over the world in nature. I've climbed mountains. I've been in deserts. I've been in canyons. I've tracked across the Grand Canyon, the top, you know, from the north to the south, south to north a couple times. I've been all through the west. I've walked a lot of the Sierra Nevada ridges. I've watched a lot of the trails in the Appalachians. And I can tell you the reason why we're having these fires in California, it's not even the droughts, is because there is no real good forest management, because there's a state's gone Mexican and minority, and they have these leftists in there just pouring out the money to the criminal element. They're not managing the forest. The reason why this is happening is because the way you do forest, for instance, is you do controlled burns very early, because once the underbrush grows up too high, Trump was right about this, by the way. Once the underbrush grows up too high, if you don't keep it down, when you do get a fire, and you're going to get fires from lightning breaks, you're also going to, there certainly could be arson by individuals too. There's a lot of nasty people out there in this world today. And that, you know, fires can happen. Electric wires can go down. The electric grid in California is bad. And then when you get the winds and the dry weather, which California's always had, and they've always had fires, then you get the bad circumstances. Also, the way they're built up now in terms of all the private land which is not controlled. So when the brush grows big, when it gets to those areas, those medium areas, that's why I think that's going on. I don't want to go through a long story about forests. But what I'm saying to you, though, is the thing about Chinese or whatever, this is a part of the disinformation, right? It's not Chinese. It's not Russians. It's because we increasingly have a government that's going bankrupt. And what's going on with all this? We've destroyed one-third of our small businesses, of our restaurants, mom-and-pop, the small stores. The Amazons have gotten used. The international corporations are being used because it's the same principle that happened in America. You know, in the turn of the 20th century, almost at the turn of the 20th century, 97% of Americans had, you know, they lived in rural areas. They lived on their own farm, their own homestead. And so they controlled their own lives, pretty much. You know, a lot of people work for other people, too, but now we don't.
Do you recall when Stalin came into power in Russia, he asked and gave the people a choice to come into the city, get out of the country, so we'll give you free this, free education, welfare system, very much like what we have today. And everybody came in, became dependent upon all these freebies, and then they stopped all these freebies, pulled the rug out from under the public, and killed between, 60 million to 120 million in question? What's happening in this country right now.
Well, communism has killed 100 million people in the world. That's a conservative estimate. And in Russia, conservative estimates about 25 to 30 million, and a larger estimate, according to Solzhenitsyn, which I have a lot of respect for.
Stalin and Marx were Jews.
Yeah, Jews. Stalin wasn't Jewish.
That wasn't his real name.
Well, ma'am, I don't think Stalin was a Jew. In fact, but he worked with the Jews. And that's one reason why I was able to. Well, let me tell you what I think, ma'am. I'm just telling you, he was a Georgian, right? And the reason why he ended up getting power in Russia is he was a very ruthless individual, and he was a very terrible, horrible individual, no question about it. But early on, you had, of course, Trotsky, who was head of the Red Army. He killed many, many millions of Christians. You had Lenin, who was Jewish, and I was with Solzhenitsyn in the Russian archives. I mean, I know something about this, ma'am. I've been there, and I've talked to experts who've been their whole lives in Russia and who have been on our side, who are part of this movement that we're part of right here in this country and the world to free us from these Jews. And here's the situation with Lenin. Lenin always self-identified himself to his family, to his wife was Jewish, of course. He identified himself and his family as Jewish, identified himself to his children that way. And all the family admitted this under sworn testimony. Right? And it's all in the archives of the Russian government. And I've seen those in my own two eyes, right? He was Jewish, right? But so after Lenin had a stroke and he was close to death and then he died, there was a big power struggle. And everybody thought Trotsky was going to get it. Trotsky's real name is Bronstein. And they thought Trotsky was going to get it because he's the most famous Jew. In fact, you look up the Jewish Encyclopedia and it says Trotsky was the greatest Jewish general, one of the greatest Jewish generals of history. But they thought Trotsky was going to get it, but yet Kamenev had Zinoviev, right? And these other Jews, they were in a struggle. And so these Jews, they knew the Jews had the power. They controlled the NKVD, all that. So it came time to produce and create a head of security for the state. Each of these Jews, in the struggle between these Jews, were afraid if this other Jew would get the security, right, he would have a hands up. If Trotsky got it, or if Zinoviev got it, or we can keep going on those, Kamenev and these other Jews, that if they got it, then they could use that. So they said, the only Gentile in the room is Stalin. You know, it's kind of like going to a median force, you know. And there was another Russian on the insiders, which should be canon. Bukharin. And Bukharin was one of these Russians who was taken in by communism. Later on, he realized it was a con. and he thought it was going to bring human rights, and of course it didn't. And he was against all these massive murders and everything. So what happened was these Jews, they appointed Stalin, and then he used that secret police to basically take over the state. Now, he didn't get rid of the Jews by any means. He kept the Jews in there. They prosecuted a lot of Jews, but he kept the Jews, and his deputy premier was Kaganovich. And then after the war and the State of Israel was founded, he began to realize that these Jews, that they were becoming more and more organized for themselves, and he started to fight them. And they began to be removed by the white Russians, the Christian Russians, from the Presariat. They were removed from the Duma. They were removed from the Politburo, right? And we know this for a fact. We can go look. When I was a young man, I was reading this, and a lot of right-wingers with false information thought, well, the Jews still control Russia. But they really didn't. They had a red mafia there. But and as soon as Nietzsche can tell you this truth, they had influence, yes. But they really lost out. And then Stalin was finally going to get rid of them entirely, and that's when they did the doctor's plot. And the deputy premier, Kaganovich, and by the way, he's the guy along with Stalin that organized the Ukrainian hold of the mark. They then plotted to kill Stalin, and he did have a slight stroke, but they killed him, and that's the evidence that we have right now about Stalin. So as far as I'm concerned, ma'am, and I've read hundreds of books on this, lots of papers, academic papers. I've met people who were alive in that time, and I met a lot of Russians in the late 90s and in early 2000 that actually survived Soviet communism, and they were alive in 1920. It's pretty amazing. And I met many people, and I learned a lot of things from it. And I've got a book called The Secret Behind Communism. And I also have translations of Solzhenitsyn, which aren't available in English, in there. And I urge your listeners to go to davidduke.com and order that book. It's a well-received book, and it's one of the most powerful books you'll ever read. It proves beyond a shadow of a doubt of the Jewish nature of communism. I hope I've been somewhat enlightening to you, and I don't mean to view you with some ideas. But over the years, I've had many ideas I've had to change, and many thoughts and things that I thought were facts that I've learned differently. But I've always tried to figure out the best I could, and I could be wrong about anything, but I've tried to figure out as best I could what the real truth was in some of these things. There's always been, about all sorts of things in history, there's always been some misinterpretations and some misinformation that are used by the different sides in a struggle to their own advantage. I hope that helps you. Appreciate it.
I'd like to thank the caller for her call, but we do have another caller that I'd like to get in before the end of the broadcast.
Sure.
From Rochester, New York. You're on the air.
Yes, good evening, Mike. And it's good to meet you, Mr. Duke. A long time I tried to get a hold of you. I just want to ask you one question, make one comment. I submitted a petition to the U.S. Court of Federal Claims on behalf of President Trump. And I know that he'll have standing in that court. The representative, the court's already hiding my papers. Because I went in there saying that President Trump's going to come into your court as a citizen and a president of the United States of America, not the United States Corporation. So the United States of America is going to be the plaintiff, and the defendant is the United States Corporation, which the Supreme Court was representing the not give them standing. And so far, I know they know it's true because they sent me documentation, a generic letter, unsigned, saying I didn't follow instructions. So I'm getting prepared paper to return back to the court saying I'm requesting. They're saying because of the COVID virus, they cannot file these papers and send me copies back. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to send the correspondence they want back to file it on the electronic filing system to call the PACER to prove that I filed all the instructions correctly as required in the forms they sent me. So what I have to do is I have to send a CC copy to President Trump. And when I sent a copy to the White House, I had to go through the mail because all the library people here couldn't find his email address. So I want to ask you, Mr. Duke, do you know how I could get in touch with Mr. Trump? His email down at he's in a resort in southern Florida, isn't he?
I don't know. You could probably find out an email for the Maria Mar-a-Lago, whatever they call that, in Palm Beach, And maybe you could send an email there. But I just would suggest one thing to you and all the listeners out there, and this is the difference with me. And I hope you all listen to my show tomorrow. Go to davidduke.com and go to rinseradio.com. Rinseradio.com. So R-E-N-S-E.com. And let me tell you something, my really good friend. All these things in the courts, we do have a judiciary in this country, and we have demographic takeover, and we have the enemies that are ruling this country. And the thing you got to remember up, and you should concentrate your effort on, is exposing the Jewish question, because the Jewish question is what's driving all of it. The immigration is caused and was caused by the Jewish takeover of America from our earlier immigration of Jews, and the Jewish supremacy that rules over the New York Times and the Washington Post, right? And ABC, and NBC, and CBS, and Hollywood, right? And Goldman Sachs. Goldman Sachs was just fined $2.6 billion, for a international bribery conspiracy and criminal theft conspiracy against Malaysia. They destroyed this corporation, this big Malaysian government entity, and they robbed, you know, tens of, you know, it's crazy. Tens of trillions of dollars, right? It's just crazy.
I'd like to thank you for being on tonight. It's interesting. We'll have to have you back on in the future sometime. But we're just out of time, so I've got to close this broadcast here. And okay. Like I said, thank you again, and God bless you.
My pleasure, Brother Mike, and God bless you too, and keep your good work up. Go to davidduke.com, folks. Thanks. Bye-bye.
We pray that your spiritual ears have received today's message, and that you are fed with strong meat relevant to solving the needs of our nation and Christian civilization everywhere. Herald of Truth is sponsored by Kingdom Identity Ministries through the financial support and prayers of listeners like you who love the truth of God's Word and want to see it broadcast throughout the land to awaken His people. If you would like a CD of today's message, tell us the date and station to which you are listening and send a donation to cover our cost plus help with radio time to Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602. We would appreciate donations made by our international listeners to be in U.S. funds. For a free introductory packet of information, including our doctrinal statement of beliefs, plus lists of books and tapes to aid you in your study of biblical truth, write Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602, USA. Or request this material by calling 870-741-1119. That's 870-741-1119. Visit our internet website by going to www.kingidentity.com. Type www.kingidentity.com. We invite you to listen regularly to Herald of Truth broadcast for more dynamic messages proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom at this same time and station.